Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hey everyone, it's Belinda Ellsworth with Work From Your Happy Place, and I am so ecstatic today. We have a fantastic show in store for you. I have a wonderful guest with me that honestly, I'm just very excited for all of you to hear from. I have Liz Imperio with me today. Liz is a proud Cuban American. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. Her work caught the eye of famed choreographer Kenny Ortega at the tender age of 15. Liz became Kenny's associate choreographer for 4 years before breaking out on her own. Liz has established herself as a major director and choreographer in the entertainment industry, including artistic direction and choreography for Jennifer Lopez's Dance Again World Tour, two world tour concert tours with Madonna, the Reinvention Tour and Confessions Tour, and has worked with Gloria Estefan's last three world concert tours. Her credits make her one of the most sought-after choreographer show directors in the business. Liz also has taught at numerous conventions over the span of 26 years. Teaching has been a lifelong passion that has allowed her the opportunity to affect hundreds of thousands of lives. Liz's experience in the field of education has inspired her and her partner, Chad Carlberg, to create and release a motivational online program, Breaking Barriers. This opportunity is a lifelong dream to give back and inspire today's community of dancers to reach new heights in their lives. Liz, thanks so much for joining us today and welcome.
Thank you so much, Belinda. I'm thrilled to be a part of this. Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, great. So why don't you just allow our listeners to get to know you a little bit more, fill them in on this journey of kind of where it all started and where you are today. I know it's going to be very exciting for them.
Well, I would say I'm a first-born generation here in the United States. My mom is from Cuba, and she was actually a ballerina in the National Ballet of Cuba. And when she first arrived to the United States, obviously she had huge, huge sights for herself and her sister who were in the entertainment business back in Cuba. But, you know, when you're language, when you're challenged by language, you're challenged by, you know, new surroundings, you do realize that it's not going to be as easy as it seems. And then I unexpectedly came along. And my family truly believes in the idea of putting full focus on the child, on children. And so at a young age, my doctor actually told my mom, because I was, I'm heavily fed by my grandmother who loves to cook. And the doctor had told my mom, look, you're going to have to put your child either on a diet or on some kind of exercise. And my mom, you know, no one's going to break grandmother's heart. So she figured, well, I'm a girl, let me put her into dance. And little did she know how much I was going to fall in love with it. And, you know, my mom has been such a guiding light in my life. And she's the one that really discovered the best studios for me. She always sought out teachers that were strict and honest, that were going to help shape me and mold me into the person I was going to become. As I got older, I ventured into the world of flamenco, which literally lit up a new fire inside of me just to stay that much more passionate about dance. So by the time I was 15 years old and Kenny had seen me, this is where my world started to collide, both the world of ballet, the world of flamenco, and everything I'd ever learned. And Kenny saw this light inside of me and this talent, this untapped talent, and brought me on as an assistant choreographer. And at the time, I didn't even know what that meant. I mean, I just knew what it was to be a dancer. And to be an assistant was a very different ballgame. And grateful that he did, because years down the road, as we were working on movies together, live shows together, TV shows together, I unfortunately tore my ACL on my left knee, which left me somewhat disabled as an actual fully capable dancer. It took me away from being able to do floor work and certain aspects of dancing, which was heartbreaking. And I thought for sure this was like the end of my career. And Kenny asked me to come on board and assist him again on other projects. And that's when I realized that there was going to be no end for me, that this was just going to be the beginning, and that as an assistant choreographer, I could actually do a lot more. Well, by the time I was 20 years old, Kenny handed me my very first solo job as a choreographer, and that was Gloria Estefan's Comeback World Tour, Into the Light. This was right after her bus accident. And that really propelled me into a new space of my life. And before I knew it, I was starting to choreograph for tours and award shows and commercials. And then suddenly I thought, I want to start a dance company. I was like, okay, I want to take untapped talent, groom them, mold them, and I want to tour them around the world. In the midst of building this company, I realized I wanted to do promotional work. So I actually started to teach myself how to edit video. Now I'm a full-fledged editor as well. So I edit short films and demo reels and concert content for video backgrounds, commercials, and short films. And I realized I found a new passion based upon my very first essential goal as a dancer. And as I got older, I realized I wanted to start teaching. And as I started teaching, I realized how much I had to give back to my dance community. And slowly but surely, all these components just started to fill in a gap of my life that they weren't even a blip on my radar growing up. I didn't think I was going to be an editor. I for sure did not see myself as a motivational speaker. I did not see myself as a potential teacher that was going to be teaching, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And before I knew it, all these wonderful components started to align themselves for me to be able to now create my new venture, which is Breaking Barriers. And this has been probably one of the most exciting points of my life, mainly because it allows me to reach to so many dancers in a way that I have never been able to do before, which is why it's an online program. Because there's only so much any one individual person can do in one space with so many bodies in the room.
Right.
But you know, even to get there, I'm going to backtrack for a second, Belinda. And, oh, you know what? I'm going to let that go because there's actually a couple more things I want to talk about. But just in regards to like where I was and how I got to where I am, that's the gist of it.
That's awesome. And what I love about that is that when we find a passion, it is so true that it takes, you know, as our life goes and as we mature and as we gain additional skill sets, suddenly that journey takes different forks in the road, if you will. And then suddenly, you're right, all the components come together. And I would like to really encourage our listeners to not get stuck in one space. It's always be willing to take that next fork in the road or the next turn and see where the talents that you have are going to take you and the skill sets you can gain, because then at the very end, you might have a complete different picture of where you started, but it was everything that you did along the way that brought you where you are today. So I just wanted to just sort of take what you said and bring that full circle so that everybody sees that. It's not always exactly what you start out on, but it is those skill sets that you gain along the way that take you to where you are today.
And it's amazing because honestly, those skill sets, I'm just going to interject and say a lot of those skill sets tend to appear when you least expect them. And a lot of them tend to appear when you're not just in need, but in a life-changing moment. Just when you think that you're about to lose something, you're actually about to gain something. And someone, a very good friend of mine, Debbie Allen, said, failure is just one step short of success. And this is where the idea of making sure that you stay open-minded to possibility, just to see what's in front of you. Because you're right, it's so easy to put the blinders on and just be so focused on the one thing for sure you think you're going to be able to do for the rest of your life. But life just doesn't work out like that. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
It's the turning corners and the surprises and the changes. And at times it feels like it's more turmoil. But in all fairness, life isn't necessarily happening to you. It is happening for you. And that's a powerful thought that I always hold on to when I feel that life is getting too intense or something isn't quite working. And I realize it's because something better is about to occur. Something more is about to reveal itself to me. And I just have to be present and aware enough to be able to see it, to recognize it, to grab a hold of it.
Great. So how has the business then shaped your lifestyle?
Oh, you know, I have to say, I consider myself so incredibly blessed. I think that when people see my life, I think a lot of them think that, oh, my life is very easy because I get to travel the world. I probably on a plane at least once a week. if not twice a week, traveling either the U.S. or internationally. I get to work with beautiful artists, whether it's a Gloria Estefan and Eva Longoria, a Patrick Swayze and Al Pacino, a Madonna, and they think that my life is so rosy, and it really isn't quite that. It's spectacular in the fact that I get to change people's lives. I get to work hard. I probably don't have as much of a personal life as much, I think, as I would like to have, but that is a balance that I'm working on currently. But it allows me to live in a beautiful four-story loft. It allows me to live in my new car that I just got. It allows me to be able to be effective in the industry.
Yes.
And again, like I said, it's a blessing, but the blessing didn't just appear overnight. It definitely required, you know, my input, my investment, my time, my sweat, my blood, my tears, my experiences to get here. So it's been a journey that, I consider myself one of the lucky ones.
That's great. So then what would you say that two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you be as successful as you are in this journey, in the very many different ways of owning your own business?
I would say two of my greatest assets is the ability to communicate and my actual hard work. When it comes to the communication, it's such a valuable asset to anyone, I think, in any business for that matter, because you have to be able to not just communicate, you have to be able to understand. You have to be able to understand your client. You have to understand their needs. You have to understand their point of view so that you can actually come from a different place to be able to see a solution or see a creative outlet and be able to help them open their eyes to what's available and what's really plainly in front of them. And I find that, you know, communication with your staff is essential. I have about 5 to 6 assistants that I rotate depending on the project, whether I'm going out to teach, whether I'm going out to choreograph, if I'm going out to direct, if I'm going to go out to do motivational speaking. My team is so essential to me. So the way that I communicate to them is going to create an outcome that's just as important as just the material in itself. And communication with my clients, communication with anyone that I come into contact. And it's so funny because growing up, my family are all talkers. They're Cubans. They use their hands. They're big. They're loud. But it amazes me how much, as much as they speak, how little that they listen. And that was something that I've learned from them. And I'm grateful that they were my mirror to be able to see that even within myself. And then the other part, and this is something I definitely, I hold my mother responsible for this, and that is my work ethic. Dedication to my hard work. My mom in growing up always did her best to find me a teacher that always had two requirements, and one was structured discipline and the other one was honesty. And, you know, growing up in any field, when you're a child, it's hard to understand what any and all of that means, because you're just getting started in your life. And you feel like if I put 5, 20, 30 minutes into anything, that's a lot of hard work. But as an adult, you look at that, you're like, but that's just 30 minutes. That's not a whole lot. Although to a child, that may seem like a lifetime. But to an adult, it's like, that's just 30 minutes. There's so much more that can be done. And my mom was always so good about pushing me to understand what it meant to really put in the time and the hard work. Because the result, the satisfaction, the opportunity to understand what integrity and honor and pride behind the work and quality behind the work. It wasn't you just shutting your eyes, wishing for the dream, and then the dream appears. It means going into the studio. It means putting my hand on the bar, feeling the rosin underneath my feet, knowing I'm going to sweat, knowing I'm going to blister my feet, knowing I'm going to bruise my knees more than likely, knowing that I'm going to wake up sore, but you're still doing what you love. So once you get past the, I like to call the whiny stage. Once you get past the whiny stage of where you are, you really start embracing how spectacular it is to know what hard work means and what it represents. And before you know it, you start to create a standard for yourself, a bar that you know you have to achieve for yourself. And of course, behind that little bar is my mom standing there in her little cape going, are you at the finish line? Have you reached it there? Because once you're there, I'm going to set the bar a little higher for you. And it taught me to realize that it's never enough, that there's always more, which I'm so thankful for because it means that my life is never going to be boring.
Right. That is awesome. I know I always try to tell people you've always got to keep pushing for that next thing, especially when you're in business for yourself. I know for me, one of the lines I like to use is you're only as good as the gig you did yesterday. And you really have to always be pushing yourself forward and thinking of new ways because, yeah, that was a great gig I had yesterday. And certainly you do get some notoriety from that and that helps you get referrals and such. But the bottom line is that was yesterday. And so what am I doing today? And what am I doing to move myself forward into getting that next gig, if you will? So that's some really, really great advice and information from folks. I loved that. So why don't you share with us then, because everybody does look at somebody like this and go, oh, it must have all been easy. So why don't you share with us, and we all know that it worked really hard, it isn't, but it does always look like that from the outside. So why don't you share with us an obstacle or a challenge that you've had and then how you worked through that?
Oh, okay. So a very big moment for me, and I've had many growing up, but I think the most recent was probably like around the age of 38. And this was just around the 2008, right before the market crashed. And I had gotten really burnt out. It almost seemed because I was almost in a state of repetition. And it's hard to break habit or break routine sometimes when you don't realize that you're actually in one. And what happened was that I realized, or at least I was feeling that my words and my work were being ineffective. And it didn't matter where I was going. It didn't matter who I was working with, whether I was a dancer, an artist, a TV show. The platform was irrelevant, or whether I was on a plane traveling. My life had reached a very gray phase. And I had gotten depressed. And I realized that where I was, I wasn't happy anymore. And it's going to sound very strange, but... And when I was about 8 years old, I actually made myself a promise. And I said that if I ever fell out of love of what I do, because I was so in love, if I ever fell out of love, that I would quit. And that's exactly what I did. I stopped. I had to pull myself away. And that's not an easy thing to do because it's your livelihood. It's how you make your money. It's how you make your rent. It's what you think people recognize you for. But I also knew if I stayed with the state of mind where I was, it wasn't going to get any better. It was going to get worse. And I realized I deserved better than that. And I deserved more than that. So I gave myself the opportunity to step away. And thank God that I edit because it allowed me to do production work and to do other things that allowed me to be able to make money. And we were doing really well. And then come here 2008, the market crashed and all the work that we had lined up for 2009, we almost had a full calendar year. Within 4 weeks, it was all gone.
Wow.
And between 2008 and 2009, I would say we were penniless. We were absolutely broke and we had to actually stop paying rent or the mortgage on the townhouse that we lived in. We had to go into short sale. Thank God that we were able to stay there for about a year, but it was literally an opportunity to crawl back. And what was crazy was that when everything was said and done and, you know, my partner and I, you know, are having these conversations about what can we do now? I realized I have to come back into the dance world, but I told him, I just don't want to go back in the way that I left because if not, I'm going to be back here exactly where we are right now in a couple of years. And so at that point, I had to start making some choices. So first thing I did was I sent out 50 emails to a bunch of dance studios that I knew. Not one person responded.
Wow.
All I could think of was like after all these years, you know, when you get older, you really start to question your relevance.
Mm-hmm.
You start to question your experience. You start to question, did you matter?
Right.
Did people just forget about you? And it really does wow, it does a job on your mind and it makes every fear come forward. And the conversations you're having in your head are getting scarier and scarier. Finally, somebody said, well, why don't you go ahead and start, you know, why don't you re-edit a demo reel? Because I had let go of my, I had let go of that portion of my life. And I was like, you know what, why not? So I pull all the footage. And again, thankfully, I'm an editor. So I throw every image on the screen. And I start to realize, look, there's Jennifer Lopez. Look, there's Michael Jackson. Look, there's Gloria Estefan. Look, there's so-and-so. Look. And all I could think was like, I'm a moron. Where did I think for a second that I'm not relevant or that I don't have experience or that I don't matter? That moment altered me entirely. Suddenly, it was like I had to figure out a brand new approach on everything. I let go of my manager for 16 years, got a new agent, reached out to dance conventions that I knew that I every single last one of them, because there may be 1,000 no's, but somewhere in there, there's going to be one yes. And so I literally shotgunned the entire community and just reached out as far as I could. And what was amazing is that by the time I hit 40, 41, this is now a couple of years after the fact, I probably became more successful, more relevant. Now I am heading up Choreographers Alliance, which is to be able to unionize the choreography community. I am artistic director for 2 dance conventions. I'm more successful now than I ever have been in my youth. Because for a second, I was really thinking that my age had something to do with my actual content. It had nothing to do with it. It had nothing to do with me thinking that I wasn't relevant. I had to gain perspective. And I'm so thankful that I went through that, because coming back in, I'm more ferocious than I ever have been. I'm more excited about what I do. It allowed me to see what was missing in the teaching community, which is what caused me to start breaking barriers. It's been a spectacular journey. But I have to say that moment, those moments where you can't see straight, you don't know what to do next. Debbie was right. You know, failure is one step right before success.
That's absolutely spot on. And I loved you sharing that story. It was very honest. And I think that people see that, I hit rock bottom, but then I came back. It was a lot of digging. It was self-evaluation. And, you know, at the end of the day on this age thing, because I know exactly how you feel. The first time ever I had recently someone say that they weren't hiring me as a speaker and going with someone else because I was too old. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? We are not taking this laying down. So, but I saw it's like, I still have as much energy as any 20-year-old I know. But what they really meant was I had become complacent. And it took me getting over being angry a little bit to being like, let's get honest. I've become complacent and I have dug my heels in and basically reinvented ourselves, especially in the digital world, so that we do look relevant and we are relevant. We don't just look it. Absolutely. We are. And just like 100%. You are being right now. And I just think this is an important message for people that are kind of at this is another fork in that journey. And a lot of people with age just think, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that. No, that isn't true. And it's really about attitude. It's about how you said perspective. It's how you see yourself every single day. And the self-talk that we have every day is so important. And people just need to really understand that. And you're right. You're one step away from greatness, just one step away. And a lot of people just don't finish that step. And
absolutely. Because it is hard. I mean, I think the biggest challenge for, I think, any person walking the face of the earth is the chatter in our head, the conversation that sometimes we know is always there, but we don't give it enough of a spotlight to separate ourselves from it. And a lot of times our chatter is not quite productive. A lot of times our chatter definitely comes from more our subconscious fears and our previous experiences that prevent us from wanting to take that next step.
Right.
And so if you can acknowledge the voices, if you can acknowledge the conversation that's going on and realize it's just a fairy tale. And the only place that fairy tale exists is in your own head. Nobody else really sees it. And so if you could put that in control, if you could really dismiss it, put it to the side, kick it out of the room, and realize I'm just going to step into this. I have no idea what I'm about to get into, but it's always going to be worth taking the step than the fear of thinking, I won't ever know how great I can become. I always say, you know, you have to be willing to be risky, to be bold, and be bold to find success. The right. fear will stay paralyzed. The risk takers, those are the ones that will succeed.
Right. Absolutely. So what does work from your happy place mean to you?
I love that. I love that phrase, working from my happy place. Oddly enough, I'm wearing a t-shirt as I'm looking at myself saying, be happy today. To me, it's my happy place is knowing that I belong. I'm working in a place where I can be of service to others. You know, when I teach young children and I push them, and you see that sometimes they're like on the brink of tears because they can't see it for themselves. And then you get them to cross over that one hump, that one barrier, and that miracle happens and their eyes light up. There's no better moment in the world than to see possibility emerge from someone. And whether it's a child, whether it's an artist, whether it's just a friend, working from my happy place is knowing that I have some level of effect and change in this world, and that I'm purposeful, that when I wake up, I actually have somewhere to go. When I wake up, I have something to do, whether it's for anyone else or even just myself. You know, I always talk about being service of others, but you also have to be of service to you. As an individual, you have to learn to take care and learn to watch and learn to be aware and learn to be loving and kind and compassionate and patient and ballsy.
Right.
And when you start to realize that you're just of service all the time, you find that what you are leaving me, I'm just going to back up for a second and just say to any viewer, this is where communication is so valuable, because sometimes just planting a seed into someone's thought process can change them for the rest of their life. And it could change you for the rest of your life. And it's amazing, because most of the time we'll never see what the outcome of, I won't be able to see the outcome of every student that ever comes my path, but I do know that the seed that I plant within them is going to produce something so spectacular. And when people look at someone like a Steve Jobs, when you look at someone like a Gandhi, when you look at somebody like Martin Luther King, it's not just because they were a person, it's the legacy of what they represent that they leave behind. And that to me is where I work from my happiest place, is knowing that I'm working towards leaving something that other people can take with them and carry on and move on to other people.
That was so eloquently put. Thank you for sharing that. The thing you said the most that I love is we sometimes don't realize the small things that we do that have such an impact on others. And it's what keeps me up every day. People say, don't you get tired of traveling? Don't you get tired of doing the same thing? It's like, I don't, because when I get these testimonials back of, you know, you changed my life, and you're right. I met a woman recently that she said, I saw you almost 20 years ago, and I don't think you understand the impact of that one speech. I was just in an audience of thousands of people, but I felt like you were speaking to me, and the things that you said made me behave differently, and now I'm here today, and I've never gotten to share that with you. And it's like, wow. I was like sitting there, she was crying, I was blown away, but it's like, we don't understand the tiny little seeds that we plant in people. Go with them, live in them, and carry on, and molds them into maybe being something different or having a different lifestyle than they would have had. And how, what an incredible journey that is. So,
yes.
Gosh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So why don't you talk a little bit about something you're extremely proud of right now and your new programs that you're doing? I know it's super exciting.
Oh, yes. So Breaking Barriers is an umbrella, because we started off with creating, again, it's an online program to inspire young dancers to be able to see, again, more about what they are. And more importantly, for them to start understanding what the concept of self-worth is, a term that I don't think is necessarily really spoken about. I don't think not enough in school, not even enough in your own home and with family members, because we get very distracted by life. I got to pay my bills. I got to do my homework. I got to take out the trash. I have to fold the laundry. Oh, I have a meeting here. And we get so caught up with our everyday duties that we forget that at some point our self-worth has to be brought forward to make sure that you're on the right path and that you're still moving in a direction and not staying stuck. And so breaking barriers allows them to be able to evaluate. So we have the first portion is just for setting goals and helping them understand how to achieve them through visual representations, whether it's role models, vision boards, or whether it's through affirmations, being able to create statements that they can start embracing so they can realize that the power of their words really resonates and changes the outcome of what comes back to you. We go into the driving force of your success, which is the personal journey of someone's life. That's the why. Why do we do anything in life? Why do I eat this way? Why do I work this way? Why do I have you in my life? The why is such a personal and probably one of the most important questions that we should constantly keep asking ourselves so that we can find our state of evolution or realizing what can come next, what can come for you. And then we'll talk about the tools of the trade of the dancer and whether it's from the emotional connection for the performer to the physical understanding how to build your strength, your flexibility. We talk about advanced skills, which is your musicality, your sense of style, adaptability. We talk about a state of mind, your attitude. You know, that failure isn't a bad thing. Failure is a great thing. And more people need to embrace the beauty of what failing can do for you versus looking at it as a way of, I'm not good enough. That seems like such a small-minded approach to the idea of failing. Failing opens up change. Failing opens up new ideas. It becomes your muse. And then we have studio sessions, which for the dancer is being able to learn about technique and how can they improve their knowledge base about what they're doing with their body. And it's been a really successful program. And I'm always amazed to hear kids come back to me going, look at my vision board. And I've already made this happen and this happen and this happen. And I talk about these affirmations. I wake up and I say this and I just sing them now. They wake up so happy. And now my partner and I have just realized that we need to expand on breaking barriers a little bit more. So we're actually starting to breaking barriers for parents as well. Because for as much as the kid needs to understand what they're doing for themselves, the parent has to understand their involvement with their children and how they imprint themselves onto their children. And sometimes, you know, there isn't a parent I don't know on the face of the planet that doesn't want the best for their child. But in today's generation, it's hard. It's hard. It's getting harder for parents to be parents and to lay down the law because no parent wants to be the one that's the bad guy.
Right.
No parent wants to be the one that feels like considers themselves like the villain in the story. And no one is the villain. But at the same time, somebody has to be that stronger individual for the child because the child still doesn't, the child doesn't know any better.
Right.
And until that moment where that self-realization of, oh my God, I had this with my mom. I love my mother. I can say that my mom is like, she's my spine. She's the one that helps me stand up straight every day. She's the one that makes me see very clearly what's in front of me and to be able to take the step, regardless of the consequence, to know that there's a lesson to be learned. But again, I could say that now at 47, but when I'm 10, I'm like, why? I hate you. Why do you keep doing this to me? And why do you hate me so much? And tears run. And it has nothing to do with that. It's just that the child still has to figure out him and herself. They have to understand that growing up, that's why it's called growing pains, because you have to go through the pain of the lesson to realize, oh, I can do this. Oh, I'm actually stronger than I give myself credit for. Oh, I'm really good at that. By surrendering to a child when they share their tears, at times you know you have to comfort them. But once the comfort is done, they still have to step into the real world.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to help. It's a hard thing for parents to let go of. So this program for parents is really to help readjust some of their mindset. I mean, I actually had a parents class, oddly enough, last night here in Utah. And there was probably about 100 parents that showed up. And by the time I'm done with them, they themselves are in tears, either because they can relate or they're finding some sense of peace of mind because I'm able to give them suggestions that can help ease the burden, especially when you have no idea what dance is. If you came up as an athlete or as an academic, then dance is really the furthest thing from your radar, and you don't even know how to find either the studio. Am I doing the right thing? Are these the right people that my child should be surrounded by? I mean, there's so much worry in a parent's mind. And so to be able to give them some, not just encouragement, but some advice, to be able to let them see from a different perspective, it takes so much weight off. And it's beautiful because it gives me an opportunity to see them melt, not leak, but melt. Like, they're melting away their fears. They're melting away their concerns and realizing I can be stronger. I don't have to be led by this fear of my child not loving me. I mean, there were days that I hated my mother, but that's just a parent-child thing. I mean, it happens. It's just going to happen. It's at some point, it's going to happen. You can't run away from it. You can't escape it.
Right.
And once you surrender that thought, then you can really be responsible and accountable to your fundamentals and values with your children. And then you can really open up honest communication even with them at any age. And then you find growth. You find these everybody blossoms, not just the child, but the parent. So it's exciting right now to start looking at the same situation, but from different sides of the coin.
Oh, that's awesome. And I do think that parents do need, they do need that help. They want to, you're like, right. They want to offer the best for their child, but sometimes you don't know what that looks like, or you don't know how to go about it. And no one likes to see their child cry, but a lot of people just like go, oh, I'm pushing them too hard, or I shouldn't have them cry. And I'm like, I'm tough with my daughter. I'm like, I'm like, okay, are you done crying? Because now did you get that out of your system? I'm sorry you felt bad, but it didn't help you get better. It didn't help us. Yeah. The crying didn't help us to get past that bump that we need to get. So are we now ready to move on? And she'll look at me like, oh, and like, are you kidding me? But then she looks at me and goes, yep, I'm ready to move on now. I'm like, okay, good. Let's get to work. So it's knowing that balance, and it is that balance of being comforting when you need to be comforting, and knowing that if I just push them a little bit more or acknowledge that they're feeling bad, I always acknowledge, I'm sorry you're feeling bad right now, but the reality is we need to get past this. So let me know when you're done crying and we can start working again. But now sometimes she'll look at me and it takes 2 seconds. All right, I'm done crying.
And that's the beauty of it. Like, when you talk about the idea of, you know, outgrowing it, and that's the thing, they eventually will outgrow it if you can interrupt the thought process, because their thought process is only what they know. And so at that moment, what they know is self-pity, or they know, you know, like, why doesn't the world understand me? And the world does understand you, but we need to help you understand how to be part of the world, you know, and that's the beauty, there's such a beauty behind it, and there's such a loss behind it, because you realize that without realizing, we do strip away the innocence that we saw within our children, because we do need them to be able to be armored with the tools that they need to not just survive this world, but understand how to fight for their life, be able to fight for the life that they should to have, the life that they deserve to have, to be able to stand. And I always say, there's two options in where you stand. You can either learn to stand in fear, which is where those tears come from, or you learn to stand in faith when you actually start to become proactive.
That's great. So this has been, honestly, such a delightful interview. You've been so amazing. So in closing, I would love you to just share with our listeners, what advice would you give to those who want to be entrepreneurs?
First step is, I always say, stick to the thing that you love. My life coach once told me, passion, when you break down the word, is being able to pass the I on. Being able to share a piece of who you are, what you're attached to, what you are passionate about, what you thrive off of, because that's where you're going to find your biggest success. The next piece of advice I would say is, look at the industry that you're a part of. Find the gap in that industry, and that's where you're going to find your most success, because necessity is the mother of all inventions. which is what makes entrepreneurs this age. This is the age of entrepreneurs. People are constantly looking for ways to ease somebody else's life, to be able to effectively help someone get there faster or more efficiently or more gracefully. And when you provide that, man, you really start to see more and more and more of your passions. You start to see more and more of the gaps in your industry. And then you suddenly you see more and more and more possibility, which leads you to a really great, successful future.
Wow, that was incredible and really great advice. And I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time today. I know our listeners are going to be blown away with this interview. It certainly has been one of my all-time favorites. I've enjoyed this time with you so much. And I mean
that. Thank you, Melinda.
It's been fantastic. Been all right. Well, thanks again so much, Liz.
I appreciate it, sweetheart. And have a great day.
Yeah. And how can people find you?
You can find me either on breakingbarriers.dance. It's probably the best place to find me.
Okay.
Find me on my program.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com. And click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.